As scriptures reveal in Genesis, in the Genesis account, I'm going to keep going on this theme. It's an unpopular position to take to a lot of the things that Genesis gives information about, six-day creation, a young earth, but it really gets down to determining, are we going to trust man's word or God's word? Man's understanding or our understanding? And it's we're going to be in the minority all the time. But over 3,000 times in the Bible, it claims to be the revealed word of God who created the universe and all life as we know it and made himself known to mankind. It's how he revealed his character, his being through the scripture. And if it's God's word, then it should explain the meaning of the universe and of life. And it does. It gives a lot of answers to those big questions that we've all had and all have. Genesis means origins, basically means beginnings. It's the first book of the Bible and gives an account of the origins of life and the universe. It tells of the origins of matter, light, earth, sun, moon, stars, plants, animals, humans, marriage, clothing, death, languages, nations, and a whole lot more. We can learn about the origins of those things just from the first few chapters of the book of Genesis. It's very cool. And Genesis 1:27 says, we read about the first Adam. The first Adam, Adam means man. Man means Adam. Man or mankind, it includes humanity, male and female. Because Eve came from Adam, she's part of Adam. That's where the idea of two becoming one. But Genesis 1:27, so God created man, Adam, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And then goes on to say later how it's interesting that it says before creation, before the plants, before the Garden of Eden, before these things, it said that there was no man to work the ground. And so even that's before Adam was created. And even in the humility of God, the amazing idea of God including us, that his very divine plan for creation includes us to manage it, to steward it. And so he said he could have just created this perfect paradise, beauty, creation of animals, plants, sea life, but he created man to steward it all, to have dominion over it. And it says in Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed the man, this is more details, from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And this is the account of the first Adam, a specific man. This is the first of its kind. And it's interesting to know that the one born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago that we celebrate and give thanks to on Thursday and all year round says in many places, 1 Corinthians 15:45, one of them is referred to as the last Adam. Jesus is the last Adam. And to appreciate the last Adam, we have to understand the significance and the importance of the first Adam, which is what I'm calling today's message is titled, The Importance of Adam. So I want to pray. Father, we just give you this time. Lord, I just pray that you would open our eyes, Lord. Give us ears to hear. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for the scripture that reveals origins and the truth and can be counted on and trusted in, no matter how unpopular it might be. Father, I pray you'd bless our time. Change us, Lord, from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. So, later in Genesis, we're told how God created the first woman, Eve, like I said, from Adam's side. And we learn that all humans, all humanity, all people who ever lived, ever will live, are descended from these two people, Adam and Eve. Okay, Genesis 3:20 says, Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. of all the living. Even Adam named not only the animals, he named his wife Eve. Why? Eve means the mother of all living. Acts 17:26, it says, from one man, and some versions say from one blood, he, meaning God, made every nation of men. From one person, all humanity came from that one Adam and Eve. Two that became one. And so we talk, all humans today are related. This is a major concept to either believe or reject. We are all related. Every human who's ever lived. And we talk about blood relatives. We got this relative or the blood relative. I heard just, hope I'm not stealing anyone's joke, but the comedian who says, he goes on stage and he's got a stepladder. So this is my stepladder. I never met my real ladder. Can we just hold your hand up? Everyone hold your right hand up. Put your knee up. Go like this. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was worth it. We talk about blood relatives. The fact is, we are all related by blood, by one blood. Because we all have the same first ancestors, all have the same. So if we're all blood relatives, how many races are there? One human race. At creation, God made mature plants and animals, mature people, mature fish, mature trees, mature. And it says he made these things with the seed in them, with the ability to reproduce after their kind. After their kind. And so, and interesting, the first miracle that Jesus performed in the New Testament was turning water to wine. Water, you know, we talked about it before a few weeks ago, which came first, the chicken or the egg? The answer is the chicken. Biblically, the chicken came because everything came mature in a way to be able to reproduce after its own kind. Water is the basic form. Wine takes time, takes a lot of different things, and Jesus miraculously changed the raw form into a aged, fermented, perfect mix of the best wine saved for last. And so it's just God did it with Adam and Eve. And I want to show you just some examples here about the, everything was able to reproduce after its kind. I want you to just cycle through some photos here. You can have some safari music going. Are those cool or what? Ta-da! Who says I don't love cats? So you look at all those amazingly different species. They're all totally unique and different from each other, but yet they're all from what family?
Feline.
Feline family. They're all feline. Major differences, major varieties, major fascinating differences, and yet they're all from the same kind. And it's the same way with humanity. All humans are of one blood because we all come from the same common ancestor, our mutual grandfather, and us. And I'll say a very specific one person named Adam. Not a caveman, not a series of Neanderthal, you know, people, apes or blobs into something. It was God made Adam, a mature man. And from Adam made Eve, full grown, intelligent. Adam lived to be 930 years old. His name is Adam. It's not a myth, not a. And so if we all descended from Adam, how do you explain the different colors of skin we see from around the world? But the question is, are people different colors? Are there different colors of people? All people are some shade of brown. It's mainly based on a brown pigment called melanin, right there. Some people have more and are a darker shade of brown. Some people have less melanin and are a lighter shade of brown. The majority of the world's population is a middle brown shade. We're all the same color, just different shades. So why do some people groups have distinct, repeatable attributes like different shades? The answer is the Tower of Babel. And I'm not going to get into it, but I'm going to briefly. The Tower of Babel event shows how we got isolated people groups separated by language and geography, which led to isolated genetic pools. And from that, certain traits become dominant and are passed on from one generation to the next, which, genetically speaking, happens all the time. It's a common thing in nature. That's why we can breed different cats and different dogs and different cattle and different horses, and we can, but they're all within their kind. There's no transitions from one kind to another. And so, genetically speaking, changes of skin color, it happens all the time. My wife and I were gone for a few days in a sunny climate, and we came back with more melanin in our systems than when we left. And I know there's a lot more to it than that, but the truth is we're not red, yellow, black, and white. We're brown, 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 and brown. Different shades of brown. Do you see any red, yellow, black, and white there? Just brown, 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 and brown. Light brown, dark brown, medium brown. We're all one, because we all are descended from the same man, Adam. And you see why the devil is so fixed on fueling racism? Because he hates the fact that we are all descended, the way the Bible says, from the same man. He hates that fact that we are united as one. We are made in God's image. We are made just like God in that sense. In that sense, from the beginning. And the devil is working hard in our sin nature to stir up racism. It's mostly based on fear and pride. Those two things. And just ignorance. Just ignorance. I've been to many countries, visited and gotten to make some pretty good friends in Haiti, in Guatemala, in Mongolia, other places, people that are amazing and come from completely different backgrounds, and yet they're fascinating. And they're just like us. They're just like we are us. And so it's, why is this so important to understand that we all came from the same great grandpa? As the first human, what he did impacts all of us. What this first Adam did impacts all of us. And God didn't create Adam to be a puppet, okay? He was created with the ability to not yet, didn't tell you. Don't put that back. Where's Nikki? Go back. Don't do anything until I tell you. From now on. I'm going to, yeah, where'd Nikki go? Where'd she go? Oh, okay. So from now on, I'm going to look at you. I'm gonna look at you. This is really important. Timing is everything. Timing is everything. So don't do anything until I say now. Transfer. Okay, so leave it right there. All right. So Adam is not a puppet. He's not a robot. God didn't create machines. He created a mature, intelligent person, and from that person, another person. This couple had the ability to decide, and God gave Adam one rule. He says, from this garden, you can eat from any of the plants, of the trees, of the garden, of this paradise, except from this one tree. You cannot eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam had a free will. There was no razor wire fence around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was right there in the open where he could have gotten at it easily. That's important to understand. The concept is God will not keep you from sinning. He will not make me stop sinning. No, it's pray that you will repent of sin. Pray that you'll repent of sin. So Adam was able to sin, and of course he did choose. They disobeyed God by eating from that one tree that they were told not to eat. God warned him ahead of time, if you eat from this tree, when you eat from this tree, you will die. And that's what happened. The Bible says when Adam and Eve sinned, death entered the world, not right away, but the process of death. He lived 930 years, but he began to die. And a lot of other things happened. The shame and the guilt, and they tried to hide themselves. They tried to hide from God. They tried to cover themselves with clothing made of fig leaves. They made every kind of effort to undo what they had done, but they disobeyed God. And the consequences came. And because of that, death entered the world and all of creation was cursed. Because of what Adam and Eve did, all their descendants, everyone inherits a sin nature. Everyone, because at conception, it comes. All people who ever lived, all who are alive now, all who will be born, are born with the same tendency towards sin and rebellion because of the actions of the first Adam. I have a graphic up here I'd like to show you. So if you would go to there. Everything in Adam, I know he looks very Caucasian, white guy, nice collar, button-down collar, but ignore that. Everything in Adam, all that he inherited through this fallen nature gets transferred to everyone that comes after him. So that's us. Everything that Adam, all the curse of the land, curse of work, curse of sickness and disease, curse of dying. 9 out of 9, 10 out of 10, 100 out of 100 will die in this lifetime. No one gets out of this life alive because of Adam. Adam was designed by God and intended by God to be alive today, 6,000 years plus later. But they disobeyed, and so what the father has gets passed on to the children. What Adam has gets passed on to us. We all come under the same curse, the same fallen nature, the same sin nature of Adam and Eve. When it comes to life, in every way, life is difficult. Life in our bodies, because we have sickness, and eventually leads to death. Life in our work, because the ground is cursed. Everything on the earth is cursed. Everything made comes from the earth one way or another. It's all under a curse. That's why it wears out. And I want to show you another illustration to understand it. I just want to show you. Go to that next photo, please. See these two men? See that same guy? That's two different people. That's the father on the left and the son on the right at the same age. Everything in that father passed on, even though, you know, a wife involved, genes of a wife. Next one, that's two different people. There's a father and a son. It's amazing resemblance. It's just fun to see. Go to the next one. It works for mothers and daughters too. There's the mother on the right and daughter on the left. It even works for grandmas. There's grandma on the left and granddaughter on the right. Isn't that fun? And then last one, just hold it there, keep it there. There is again, father on the left, son on the right at the same age. Everything that's in the father gets transferred to the son, whether you like it or not. How do you stop it? So you go back to the next, go to the graphic of Adam and us. So everything in Adam got transferred to us. His sin nature, the curse of the earth gets transferred to us. How do you stop it? How do you break that cycle? How do you get over that? You can't. Humans can't do it. You can't stop it because it's transferred at conception. While you're just a little being, a little speck at conception, it's already set in place. You're part of that. You inherit that nature. We're all born into an inherited curse because of Adam and Eve, because we're part of the same one human race. No matter what nation, no matter what lineage, and everyone, again, is not only related to Adam and Eve, we're related to they know scientifically all nations of all people can trace their roots back to one of three of Noah's sons. So we all came through that lineage of Noah's sons, the eight people and their wives and that survived the flood, which I haven't even gotten into yet. But how do you stop it? How do you break that curse? Adam and Eve tried to stop it by covering themselves, by hiding. It didn't work. So the Bible says sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. I used to think, man, if I could just stop sinning. It's like, well, I sin because I'm a sinner. You know, it's like because of who I am, sin comes out. It's not that sin made me a sinner. Okay? Big difference between sin making me a sinner and being a sinner, and that's why we sin. That's why we have thoughts that we don't want to have thoughts. Why we have words that we don't want to have those words. We do things that we don't want to do. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, who will deliver me from this wicked man of death? It's in our nature to sin, to do things that we regret. And you can't stop it. You'd have to be born somehow without the genetic flaw of Adam. You'd have to somehow, even if we can't stop it, maybe there's someone in the future that could stop it. You'd have to do the impossible. You'd have to be sinless from conception. You'd have to be without sin at conception. And then if you had, say, you could be born without sin, then you could reproduce after that kind, and there'd be some hope. Maybe if you had, because of Adam, all the human race is polluted, but maybe if you had a sinless father, if you had a sinless father, for example, you could be born, conceived out of a sinless source, but yet you'd have to be human, because it has to be part of the human race. You've got to reproduce after your own kind. But if you could be conceived without sin, how could that happen? Maybe in the fullness of time, God sent his son to be born of a woman who's a virgin, not conceived by any lineage of Adam, but conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit conceived miraculously in a human, because she had to be in the human race. And he came to a virgin and conceived the Son of God, who's called the last Adam. The last Adam. And then this last Adam could reproduce after his own kind, breaking the curse, breaking that cycle of being trapped in this. And that's why he's called the last Adam. Jesus had to be born in the human race. When Adam and Eve sinned, God had already given dominion to the human race. He said, let them rule. Let them fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over it. Let them multiply and be fruitful. Let them reign on the earth. And so when they fell, the solution couldn't be just taken over by God. He won't go against his word. He already gave authority for running this world to humans. And so it had to come from the human race, and Jesus had to come through a woman. He had to be born of a woman so that the whole human race could benefit. The whole world's population has the opportunity to benefit. But had to be born without Adam's sin nature so that as a human he could live an obedient, sinless, perfect life as a human, as a man, not as a divine superhero. Jesus had to be born of a woman. but in a miraculous way, so that all who put their trust in him will have their sins forgiven and will receive by faith his divine nature, a new nature. You already put it up there. How long has that been up there? Great. Did that... Memorize that. That is everything in Jesus. Everything in the last Adam. The forgiveness of sin. The victory over sin. The victory over the flesh. He perfectly obeyed the Father. He perfectly fulfilled the law of Moses. He never stumbled, never fell in any way. And because of his victory, he transfers it to anyone who puts their faith in him. Everything in him gets transferred to us. We become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Only because of what he's done. As it was with Adam, as we received everything from Adam, we receive everything from Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." And then in 49, and just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Amen. That is good news. That is worth giving thanks for. Amen. This is why it's so important that there's a real Adam. Not just a fable, a fairy tale, we all came from caveman, what's the difference? We're here we are, you know, this is where we are. We're the human race, however we got here. No! Not however we got here. Because God said he breathed life into a man that he formed from the dust. And from that man, all humanity came from. And what happened to that one man happens to all of us. And why God sent his son to be the last Adam. The last Adam. Not the second or the third. There's not another one coming. There is no other Adam's coming. The last man, the last Adam, Jesus Christ. And everything in him gets transferred to all who put their faith in him. To all who trust him with their lives, with their salvation. Tony, could you come up? And I just want to have a little, I'm going to close here. Do you see why it's so important to understand that God made a man in whole, mature, intelligent, not a rub sticks together, fire. Adam named the animals. Adam understood tools for gardening. Adam was an intelligent, perfect human being from the beginning, with no flaws, gloriously made by God Almighty. He didn't evolve. We didn't evolve. That's a lie. That's, yep, poppycock. Say baloney. Baloney. Say poppycock.
Poppycock.
Baloney. Yeah. Say it, Paul.
Baloney.
Yeah. Throw a new one on you. It's so important to know that we did not evolve from lower forms. Adam is not a mythical fairy tale person made up so we can understand and make sense of the world somehow. Just like Jesus is this mythical thing. It's not. He's the last Adam. Neither are made up. Both are historically real. Both are real people and are extremely significant to understand. What the fig leaf clothing failed to do, God shed the first blood. He made animals clothing. He made clothing for Adam and Eve out of animal skins. That was the first death. There was not supposed to be death. But it was in God's mercy, he slaughtered some animals to make clothing for them to temporarily cover their shame and their guilt so they'd feel better about themselves. That was not the intent. Shame and guilt was never supposed to be part of God's very good creation. It was only supposed to be very good to this day. But even in the mercy of God, he temporarily provided skins to cover their shame. But then in the fullness of time, he sent his son, the Lamb of God, who didn't come just to cover our sins, but to take our sins away once and for all. For any who put their trust in him, I would highly encourage you to put your trust in Jesus Christ, the last Adam. If you've never done it, I encourage you to do it right now. If you've never done it publicly, I encourage you to do it publicly. In fact, if you'd like to, let's stand up. If you'd like to put your trust in Christ for the first time, I'd like you to do that. Don't put it off. In fact, I'd like you to come forward in the front altar. If you'd like, if you're brave enough, come forward to the front altar. I'd like to pray with you specifically. I'd like to pray for everyone. But if you'd like to put your trust in Christ for the first time, if this is a new concept for you, you've never heard this whole last Adam idea, not understood that Adam and Eve were real people that God created in real fashion, and you want to give your life to Christ, I encourage you to come forward to the altar. But for all of us who already know Jesus as Lord and Savior, can we just take a minute and just give him thanks? Let's just worship him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us, for making a way. Thanks be to God for your indescribable gift, for giving us the victory through Jesus, not through any good deeds or good works of our own, but through Christ, you made the way possible. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for paying it in full. For making us in your image and providing for our fallen nature. And yeah, we still struggle, still wrestle with sin. But it says we will be made alive. We enjoy a measure of that right now, but the day will come when we will be made totally alive, washed completely with no struggle anymore. No struggle to walk in the light, walk in life the way God intended. Thank you for the promise that we have. Father, thank you for the many things we have to be thankful for. I pray that this week would be saturated with our giving thanks. It says, count your blessings. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your blood shed. Thank you for taking on the cross for us. Thank you for giving us your life in exchange for our sin. For giving us forgiveness when we don't deserve it. Thank you for receiving it by faith. Lord, we give you this week, God, just thank you for times of refreshing, that you're so good to us. Be glorified through us as we gather with family and friends. Lord, help us to honor you, to publicly give thanks to you for who you are and all you've done. Bless our week. We just pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.